Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I mean, we've previously heard in relation to this case at a bail hearing that this crew met in a Sligo hotel and that this meeting was attended by an international drug dealer, and it was there 3 weeks previous that Lawler's death was planned and ordered.
I'm Nicola Tallant and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
A three-man assassination squad scouted out Irish crime boss Robbie Lawler's movements before carrying out his contract killing. A Belfast court has heard. They formed a cell intercepted by police following the shooting, but then were released and allowed to leave Northern Ireland, it emerged in court. So what are the claims that were made as bail was refused to Adrian Holland, who's charged with the murder of Lawler in April 2020? And who are these three-man assassination squad that his barrister, Joe Brolly, say were allowed to leave the jurisdiction? Today, I'm talking with Niall Donald in relation to one of the most high-profile gangland murders in recent history. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com.
So, a very unusual kind of a bail hearing in the north of Ireland this week, centred on the murder of Robbie Lawler, the gangland figure from Dublin, with a very interesting past, that was shot dead in Belfast in 2020. Now, it's claimed that this three-man assassination squad scouted out Lawler before carrying out his contract killing in Belfast, but the court was told that they were basically allowed leave the jurisdiction. And certainly counsel for Adrian Holland, 39-year-old, who's charged in relation to the murder, says he's innocent and that they were let get away.
Yeah, of course, it was Joe Brolly, his representing Adrian Holland. Joe Brolly, obviously more famous for his GAA to us anyway.
Yeah, Nicola, writes for this stable. Like,
he does. But he's a very, very much a leading barrister in the north and represents in the criminal court and has represented some of the most high profile cases, criminal cases in the north. So he said, and Joe Brolly, of course, is always good with a powerful quote, put it that way. He describes he contended in court, "I smell a rat in this case. I've smelt a rat from the outset." So we heard, obviously, Robbie Lawler's murder was one of the most consequential in recent years in Ireland's gangland, in Irish gangland. Robbie Lawler was, I think it's fair to say, one of the most feared criminals operating in this city. He also played a key role in the Drogheda feud. Robbie Lawler was involved in that through another associate and was suspected of a number of shootings, but probably most infamously, he is suspected of killing Keane Mulready Woods, a teenager at the time, as part of that feud, literally being involved in the dismemberment of his corpse, a story that that ultimately went around the world. Robbie Lawler, while he was being investigated for that murder, ultimately seemed to have spent a lot of time in the north, mixed up in the drugs trade, and in 2020 was shot dead in on the street in Belfast.
Etna Drive and Ardoyne in North Belfast. I went up to cover it myself. I tell you a funny little story here before we go on with the more serious matters of this case. But so it was April 2020. And if you remember, really, the COVID thing had just come in and the country was in lockdown. And we weren't really, from memory, allowed travel.
No.
But we had these sort of
We had
badges.
It was an exemption.
Because, it was an exemption for media to travel. So we were allowed to travel about and all the rest of it. And I remember heading up the north. There was no traffic on the roads and all the rest of it. And it was great. I was like, God, you know, this isn't too bad at all. So I headed for Ardoyne, where I met our own excellent fixer who gets you in and out of Conor McCaughey, who gets you in and out of every tricky situation you can. And we sort of started to knock on doors and make a few inquiries and all the rest of it. But while I was there and working out as much as I could what happened, we went to meet this contact who was, how shall I put it, certainly somebody with a background.
Colourful
background, connected with criminality and all the rest of it. And he and I had to meet in a sort of an open air situation in a field, and because we had to distance, this all sounds so...
He obeyed social distancing, didn't he?
He was a bit worried. We both possibly had masks on, I can't remember. Just when I think about this, how utterly ridiculous this was. So this was a contact from the criminal underworld giving me some information on the most high profile gangland murder that probably has happened in a couple of decades, and he had to shout across this field to me, and I had to shout back at him, and it was like, talk about the last place that you would ever meet a criminal contact or ever, you know, ever conduct your business like that.
Well, let's hope you weren't being bugged like Jerry Hutch.
But there were so few people out, actually, to be honest with you, that we managed to get away with it. And I got my little bit of information that I double-checked. But anyway, so sorry, back to... So that's just setting the scene over the last few years about when that happened. Lawler had travelled up to Belfast from memory the night before and had gone... I mean, at the time, the information was sketchy. He'd gone to this housing estate and he had been shot dead. Now, that happened, and the court was told this week, outside the house of Adrian Holland. And Brolly said that, you know, one of the things he mentioned was, you know, why would this man...
Yeah, I mean, he's...
organise an assassination outside his own house and then stay in the house waiting for the police.
Yes. So, I mean, what we heard in court this week basically was the links of the Limerick's Dundon McCarthy gang to the murder. That it's contended in court that there was three people who have associations with the Dundon McCarthy gang, were seen scouting out the address. The trio were ultimately arrested, these three people from the north of Ireland. They were ultimately arrested and released without charge, and it is said in court this week that they are the people that carried out the assassination and that they are the people responsible. And we know from our own investigations that these people that are named, that some of them may have had ties with Robbie Lawler as well through the prison system, and that there's always been a suggestion, to say the least, that Lawler was double-crossed by these people who also had ties with the other side, with the Maguire faction of the Drogheda feud. You were also told in court that ultimately, which has been reported on down here, two women who also have ties to senior members of the McCarthy Dundon gang were allegedly caught red-handed, it is said, receiving a payment of 50,000 shortly after the shooting. Those women, again, they've never been charged in connection with that offence. So this is the contention you hear this week. It's certainly a murky and confusing case because of the involvement of a range of Ireland's gangland factions, I suppose, in the murder of Robbie Lawler.
You don't usually hear this kind of thing coming out of the bail application, you know what I mean? It is slightly unusual that a barrister should stand up and kind of go, you know...
Yeah, it's a. I mean, in
my
fact,
client isn't. You know, this is an unusual. I mean, to say I smell a rat in this case, you don't hear that too often when a case is before the courts. Now, Holland and his co-defendant Patrick Tier, who's from Thornbury Hill in Belfast, they're suspected of carrying out the shooting, but they are in custody charged as part of a joint enterprise to murder.
They're in fact not suspected of carrying out the shooting, is what's being said.
Pulling the trigger.
No,
they're seen as a joint enterprise as part of the kill team, essentially, but not of having pulled the trigger.
No, and you know their contention is that they're not, that they aren't involved, that they may have been in inner the general area, but there's absolutely no, their contention is there's no proof that they were directly involved, certainly in plotting a murder.
But is the smelling of the rat that these people were allowed leave the jurisdiction? That's what that phrase is relating to, that they were arrested, these other suspects, but they were allowed out of the jurisdiction.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe Brawley seems to be saying, from my understanding, that it's clear that the people that really are behind this murder are not being before the courts at this moment. We've also heard, of course, that during these bail hearings, which probably the difference in terms of the North is that these things are reported on. And down here, a lot of the bail hearings, where there can be a lot of detail given, they tend to be not reported. And there's a statutory instrument to stop some of it being reported in the media that doesn't tend to apply.
Which was brought to bear when Graham Dwyer was first before the courts, because he actually applied for bail when he was pending his trial in relation to the murder of Elaine O'Hara. And there was a bail hearing that good few journalists were at. I attended it myself. And that was the first time we realised the extent of that murder, what had gone on, because a senior superintendent had given a kind of a declaration to the court saying he did not believe that Dwyer should be released from custody pending this trial, because, and he gave the details basically of what the state would later say happened in court involving that kind of grooming of a vulnerable adult, involving the BDSM situation, you know, the slave phone, I think, was even mentioned in it. But there was actually a reporting restriction on it because everybody had the kind of this extraordinary story, and we actually had to just wait till it came out then in the trial.
Yeah, so it tends to be, they tend to report them more in the North, the bail hearings. So, I mean, there's also...
we've previously heard in relation to this case at a bail hearing that this crew met in a Sligo hotel, and that this meeting was attended by an international drug dealer, and it was there 3 weeks previous that Lawler's death was planned and ordered.
Yeah, so you see what is really being the case being put forward is that there's a number of gangs conspired, a number of gangs in the mostly in the Republic of Ireland conspired to murder Robbie Lawler. That there was a meeting involving an international drug dealer from the west of Ireland in this hotel, that there was members of the Dundon McCarthy who double-crossed Robbie Lawler, that some of this was directed and paid for by gangs in the Maguire faction in Drogheda, and that Robbie Lawler, who probably due because of his erratic and violent nature, that there was a lot of people wanted him out of the way with. Again, he's one of these sort of characters in gangland that was feared, but ultimately these people tend not to survive because they're just building up enemies after enemies. And if you remember in the build up to his murder, there was videos of Robbie Lawler being attacked on the street. Some of that is connected with people that he had murdered many, many years before, and some of their associates who have now become young men.
He was suspect, of course, for the murders of Kenneth Finn and David Lynch, among other crimes. He'd over 100 convictions and had been in jail before he was released in December 2019. And that's when this incident happened outside a gym which was filmed by the assailants, which were suspected at that point to include Cian Mulready Woods and associates of his. He was, you know, he was called names. He had a gym bag stolen from him. And later there was some social media sort of taunting, including a pair of flip-flops.
Yeah.
Subsequently, that he was also, by the way, suspected, and this has come out in the courts in Belfast, that he was a suspected shooter that left gang boss Owen Maguire paralysed. He remains in a wheelchair from...
Yeah, Robbie Lawler is suspected of carrying that out personally. He became involved with a couple of young criminals in the Drogheda area who had worked with Owen Maguire's gang, but ultimately attempted to take over his territory. And Robbie Lawler had backed him up. He had a sort of long-term association. He'd been in prison for a long time. When he came out, that feud escalated massively. Mm. He was an enforcer for a couple of drug gangs. And Kenneth Finn, of course, had been one of his closest friends at one stage. He'd fallen out as well as with the Maguire faction. He'd also fallen foul of a North Dublin criminal known as Mr. Big. They had grown up together. They had been involved in criminal enterprises together over a decade ago. They had known each other probably all their lives, but he'd fallen foul of Mr. Big probably over the Kenneth Finn murder.
Yeah.
And so his days were numbered. He was picking up enemies all over the country. And of course, what you hear this week in court is that somebody was willing to pay money to have him killed.
And I mean, of course, look, what is suspected that you know, that murder of Cian Mulready Woods. And there are people before the courts in connection with that. They're due up for trial in the Special Criminal Court in the new year. And I've no doubt we will cover that. Probably,
yes, and
they
have, of course, pled not guilty as well.
Yeah, and I mean, look, what happened there was the teenager's head and hands were severed from the body, and the bags with body parts were left in the sort of rivals' turf as such, in holdalls. We spoke earlier about the flip-flops being, you know, used to taunt him on social media. There was a presence of flip-flops in the bag where Cian Mulready Woods' remains were found. And it was sort of widely interpreted as a threat not to cross Lawler, but also maybe a measure of how sociopathic he had become.
Yeah.
Perhaps always was. But so anyway, on April 4th, it was in 2020, that day that I shouted across a field a criminal, an underworld source. He was shot. It was 11:50 a.m. when that happened. And both the PSNI and the Garda Síochána are somewhat involved in this investigation. They're certainly helping one another out. Look, these trials are going to be really interesting when they happen. They will be an absolute snapshot into what happens when everything goes completely chaotic, as if things aren't sort of bad enough all the time in gangland. This is when stuff goes completely out of control.
And it shows the increasing association, a cross-border association between these criminal gangs, and then how organised crime in Ireland has become a nationwide affair, not solely based in Dublin, which it was really for a long time. The major criminal figures were all based in certain areas in Dublin, but you see now there's big players in the west of Ireland and in Drogheda and across the rest of the country as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I was up in the north that time, you know, there was certain other people I was speaking to, and they would have been old school, maybe criminals, maybe the likes of sort of that generation that still believe that there's a rule of law held by paramilitaries or whatever, code of conduct. And there was a lot of shock and surprise that when they were speculating initially on Robbie Lawler's death, it was, oh, that's because he was a Dublin drug dealer coming up onto our turf.
Yeah.
Wasn't at all.
No.
Well, certainly doesn't appear to be.
Maybe
wait till the trials to absolutely say what went on there. But so anyway, Holland didn't get out of jail. He's been kept in because the judge deemed that he's not fit at this point. Any idea when those trials are happening in the north? Are they a bit quicker than us?
No, they're not. They're not necessarily quicker. They they go just as slowly. The wheels of justice grind slowly. And I think in Ireland you're seeing, or down here you're seeing, greater delays because of the Special Criminal Court is particularly clogged up, I think, because of the real large wave of Hutch Kinahan related criminals that have come before the courts. It's probably never been busier than now, and there's never been probably less subversives before the courts than the Special Criminal Court than there is now. It's really become a gangland court to some extent.
And you know, we know that people are very interested and engaged in the whole gangland stories from, you know, our own podcasts. We can see the amount of people that are tuning in to listen to them, that are listening till the very end, etc. You're also overseeing the Sunday World website, so you're seeing the kind of figures there that are coming in on the stories. We've a much kind of a clearer view of what people actually want to read and to listen to than we had before. Before it was always that's what the people want, but we wouldn't have actually known. Yeah. We can actually literally see each click, each listen.
Yeah.
That's happening. But what the reason I wanted to ask you that was, are the listeners and the readers in the north as engaged in the gangland crime as down here? Can you see where those people are coming in from?
100%. They are. The paramilitary stories, there's still huge interest in obviously
in the north, or
in the north,
in the south.
In the north, there's huge interest in the, you know, obviously some of the loyalist paramilitaries have become so heavily embedded in the drugs trade that there's no real meaningful distinction between them and drugs gangs.
So
there is a huge interest in obviously there's been a rake of murders in Belfast in recent times, of drug dealers being killed, and there's been huge interest in those stories from across the border. Even in, you know, we used to think that people wouldn't be interested in the loyalist paramilitaries, for example, down in down outside of the north, but there are people that are hugely interested in it. And you see kind of particularly with those, there's four or five murders. I know you did a podcast on it yourself. There was huge interest in that from all across the country. So,
and you see that sort of, I suppose, the evidence that has come out during the Hutch trial and the tapes and all the rest of it. Like, it's just showing there is no border, there is no divide. Like, we talk about a united Ireland politically, and it's just, you know, are we ever...
The criminals are ahead of the game.
Yeah, criminals are ahead of the game because they actually don't see a border. They don't see a... And maybe the interest in crime is becoming more...
Yeah, and the funny thing, of course, is the association between the broadly, the Kinahan cartel and the loyalist paramilitaries. Now, that's not to say... You know, the UVF are ringing up Daniel and ordering cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, they're not. But there is associates of the Kinahan cartel who are happily dealing with the loyalists, and the loyalist paramilitary drug dealers are happily dealing with them. And it is a funny phenomenon, if you know what I mean.
And yet, from a policing point of view, this border of ours still exists. And I mean, it is so... like, porous when it comes to criminality. And there is no... movement towards some sort of agreements on how we police it.
No, and I mean, it's not going to be made any easier by Brexit. I mean, that's just the reality. Like, because you had a European arrest warrant system. I know there's been something brought in to replace it. I can't remember the International Cooperation Treaty or something along those lines. But yeah, Brexit probably will make it tougher. Certainly the sharing of information and issues like that, you know, we will make it tougher. But I do think that the Gardaí and the PSNI on that level seem to deal quite well with each other on the whole. Though I do think that sometimes the sharing of intelligence maybe doesn't happen as easily as the sharing of kind of factual information and warrants and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. But look, anyway, as I say, the criminals are ahead of the rest of us, and it's such a heavily political issue. I don't really want to pile on from anybody.
God knows, I never thought we'd mention Brexit on Crime World, did we?
I know. Anyway.
Hopefully Ian doesn't cut it out.
Exactly. Ian's back. Welcome back, Ian. He's been away for a while, and we have had Jason looking after us. And looking after us he has, because he's kept us...
Did a great job.
Edited out any of the bad language and all the rest.
You've done, you get it cancelled, Nicola.
So look, right, we're into December. We're headed towards the end of the year at long last. We can just see an end in sight for this and you know, Hutch trial is going to be back up and running this week. I'd be back up and down to it, but I tell you this much, I am looking forward to a few weeks off over Christmas.
Yeah.
And we'll keep something running on Crime World, but I'm kind of jumping the gun, am I? I'm nearly at Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just,
focus on
Christmas
the
tree's up since November. Yeah.
Well, it's a sign of another psychopath, maybe, isn't it?
Right. Niall Donald, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Clodagh Meaney. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.